Hi, this is Austin Hill.
Hey, thanks for checking out this podcast from Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. There are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows. They're available online on myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com.
It's a big world.
It's so bright.
And it's full of small businesses.
Isn't getting discounts great?
Yes!
Yeah, I got carried away.
Risk, reward, opportunity, responsibility. Small business drives our economy. And finally, there's a show talking about it. Think you can be your own boss? Stick around. You'll find out.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Here's Austin Hill.
This is the place where small business owners and independent workers come to talk every weekend. I am Austin Hill. Welcome to our program. We call it Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Take down our number and join us, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. We are open for business with your questions and comments about small business ownership, being an independent worker, being a freelancer, being an entrepreneur. We try to see all these issues, work, making a living, the economy, and see them through the lenses of our Christian faith. I'm here for your questions and comments. My question for you in this episode of our program, and I know this, I try to make these questions very timely, especially in light of things that just happened over the last couple of weeks, really, but they happened in earnest yesterday, and I'll tell you about them. My question for you, do you believe you're prepared for your work and financial future? Do you believe you are prepared for your work and financial future? And if you are, if indeed you are prepared for that, please phone in, let me know what you're doing to prepare, and tell us about it. That's good news. If you don't feel like you're quite prepared, let me know about that as well. Perhaps we can help, and let's find out why that is. I believe, and one of my objectives here with this program is to get the church in particular, Christians, to think more succinctly about economics and personal finance and how to make a living even if you can't find a job. We've got some pretty serious needs among people in our country, and the church can be the solution. We can provide the solutions to the problems of inadequate job creation and people not working and not making a living, not able to make a living. We can be the solution to people not even trying to make a living. But we've got to begin the conversation, and we need to understand some basics about economics and then apply our Christian values to that. So that's what we're here for. 877-933-2484. Coming up later this hour, some thoughts on building your personal brand. That's kind of foreign talk for some people, the idea that you are a brand, or at least should be a brand. I'll tell you exactly what that means. We're accustomed to thinking of branding in terms of a product or a company or a business entity, but we're not in many cases, not so accustomed to thinking of ourselves as individual human beings being a brand in our respective marketplaces. But we'll talk about that coming up later this hour. Also, some firsthand experience from a gentleman who's making a living, actually, in what I call the freelance services industries. You've heard of Uber.com and Airbnb.com, TaskRabbit.com, some of these web platforms that connects people who need a particular service with those who are willing to provide the service in exchange for some money. That is the most basic description of a business when you are a ride-sharing provider with Uber, or you do household cleanup projects or fix-it projects through TaskRabbit.com or whatever. You're a business person. You're not anybody's employee. You're a business owner for all intents and purposes. We'll hear from a gentleman who's making that work coming up later this morning, so stand by for that. 877-933-2484 is our number, 877-933-2484. It's Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business, and I'm so glad you're with us. Now to the big economic news of the week, I guess we can call it that. And my goodness, you would have thought that things were far more calamitous in the world and in our country anyway than they really are. But there was panic on Wall Street yesterday as the Dow and the Nasdaq dropped about 3%. Now, 3% doesn't sound a lot, but when you consider the fact that you've got literally billions of dollars in people's wealth, or at least wealth on paper, so to speak, it's wealth represented in databases, you know, the numbers and the zeros and the decimal points are arranged in such a way that it really does amount to billions of dollars lost when the stock market declines a mere 3%. So it is a big deal. But at the same time, the Wall Street view of the world is not the entire view of the world, nor is it the entire view of our nation's economy. And so I'm always trying to sort of clear the air and separate the Wall Street view of things from the way things are happening on Main Street. I know Main Street kind of gets overused as a metaphor and such, but what happens with the stock traders oftentimes has little or no connection to what's going on in your local community or mine or in my family, your church, those kinds of things. Be that as it may, this was a very interesting dialogue. I've got a couple of sound bites here for you. This was on CNBC, live real-time coverage of the New York Stock Exchange on CNBC television, and they were interviewing a gentleman named Stephen Guilfoyle. Steve Guilfoyle is a manager, one of the assistant managers on the NYSE, the New York Stock Exchange. And this anchor at CNBC is trying to get him to comment specifically on a number. You know, like, hey, Steve, how bad is the collapse, the crash going to be here? Just listen to how this plays out. It's quite interesting. Roll it, please.
Is this market going to be down 500 points?
And it certainly could be. I don't see any specific number as more alarming or less alarming than any other number.
Okay, now that to me is an extraordinary statement. It's kind of like, yeah, you know, 500 points, 1,000 points, 300. What difference does it make? Well, it matters to real people's lives. And that's a little out of context, yes, but to be so, I guess, relativistic, I think, demonstrates just how out of touch a lot of these people are on Wall Street. But be that as it may, the conversation then turned, and the anchor on CNBC was, I think, correctly noting that, hey, a lot of these stock buyers here, they're nervous, they're freaking out, they're scared. And so the anchor asked Mr. Guilfoyle, what exactly are they afraid of? Now, his answer was very, very telling, and I'll sort of offer my thoughts as to what this means. Listen carefully.
What are they scared of? Are they scared that the Fed's going to raise rates? Are they scared that China's growth is so poor?
They're not scared of the Fed, all right? They're scared that maybe there's no place to make money. If the stock market's not going to make your money, where do you make it now?
Maybe there's no place to make money. If the stock market is not going to make money, maybe there's no place to make money. That is representative, at least in my view anyway, of a mindset on Wall Street that is really, really dangerously divorced from our realities across the country and from economic realities generally. It suggests, and this is, I believe, symptomatic of the problem. There is this mindset on Wall Street in the trader environment, the stock culture, if you will. There's this mindset that says, you know, we don't really have to worry about profitability. We don't need to be concerned about companies and how successful their products are and whether or not they're providing products that meet people's needs. Never mind all that kind of stuff. The Federal Reserve and the government and the banking institutions, they just, you know, keep interest rates really low. And as long as we can bid up the values of stocks and then sell them for a profit, well, that's how we make money. At the end of the day, a share of a company, a stock that you buy in a company is worth, really, over the long haul, it's worth less if that company is not providing products and services that people want. And that share of the company, the stock that you buy from a company, is worthless if the company ultimately is not profitable. And we kind of want to pretend that the profits and the successes of companies are irrelevant at best. At worst, we live in a culture, and I think Christians need to acknowledge this, we live in a culture where business success and profitability are demonized. Being a successful business owner, whether you own a laundromat, you know, standalone store in your local downtown area, or you're the CEO of a large company, business success is looked at with disdain and disgust and suspicion at the very best. You know, if you're profitable, you got a profitable company, well, those profits are ill-gotten gain. You must have cheated somebody. You must have done something wrong. That's not true. But that's the culture we live in. And Wall Street wants to create its own little bubble and say, yeah, you know, stock values, low interest rates. Yeah, we don't need to look at the balance sheet. Let's just sell and sell and buy stocks. It doesn't work that way. Again, listen to the man's remarks here. Stephen Guilfoyle, a manager on the New York Stock Exchange, he's asked, why are the traders here on the stock exchange frightened today? Are they afraid of the Fed? By the way, the threat from the Federal Reserve is that they've been saying now for about 3 years that they will raise interest rates. And once the rate at which you can borrow money, once that goes up and credit becomes less cheap, as it were, presumably people have less money to buy stocks, and that kind of diminishes the trading on Wall Street. So Wall Street is saying, oh, please don't raise interest rates. No, wait, don't do that. So again, the host asked the stock exchange manager, are traders afraid of the Fed and raising interest rates? Again, here's part of his answer.
Maybe there's no place to make money. If the stock market's not going to make your money, where do you make it now?
Okay. Again, just quote unquote making money on Wall Street. That doesn't matter so much if the rest of our country, the rest of the economy, and the businesses themselves are not doing well. And the truth be told, things have been pretty robust on Wall Street prior to yesterday's big sell-off. But across the fruited plain, as it were, in other parts of our country, especially middle America, however you define that, there's a lot of people who are really, really struggling. And so, be that as it may, I wanted you to see and hear that because people on Wall Street may go into a panic for a day or a week or a month or whatever, doesn't mean we need to react and panic. Likewise, when they want to behave as though everything is awesome, that doesn't make it so for you and me. We're really living in two different worlds. You and I need to recognize that if we're going to manage our families and our households and our financial futures properly, and if we're going to effectively minister to other people's needs. We need to understand the great disconnect here that's going on with very, very powerful people in our country. More in just a moment. Here's our number. It's 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. We are open for business with your questions and comments about small business ownership and being an independent worker. My question for you, how prepared are you for your work and financial future? Tell me about that. We'll get your calls coming up. It's Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Our program continues. Don't go anywhere.
This is the place where entrepreneurial minds meet. You're listening to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. This is the show for business owners of today and tomorrow. You're listening to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business.
Thank you for listening, and thank you for being here every weekend, I hope. Our number is 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. You can find our archived audio of the program at myfaithradio.com. And, of course, our program page, our show page, is austinsbigworld.com. It's Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. We're open for business with your questions and comments about being a business owner, being a freelancer, finding work even if you can't find a job. My question for you, do you feel like you're prepared for your business and your financial and career future? If not, tell me why not. 877-933-2484. It's Chris up next in Minneapolis. Chris, welcome to the program. Thanks for listening. Hello.
Hey, Austin, like the program, and thanks for the show.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, just wanted to quickly comment. You mentioned the big dip in the Dow the other day. And, you know, my understanding is there may be the appearance of some type of economic recovery, but in essence, it's been a facade of a few things. One, quantitative easing, the government injecting money into the economy. The housing market has recovered a little bit, but a lot of that is the government buying mortgage-backed securities. They've held interest rates at zero for a long, long time, and they're ultimately just running out of levers they can pull. And a lot of people predict within the next 3 to 6 weeks, we may start seeing more of a recession like 2009 again, because there never really was an economic recovery. It was more or less the false appearance of one, and the government no longer has levers to pull.
I do believe you're getting to some very important points, some of which are kind of beyond the scope of our program, but they're still relevant, and I appreciate you bringing this up. And thank you very much for the call, sir. Look, he's right. There is a panic of sorts that is settling in on Wall Street, and probably even more so at the U.S. Federal Reserve and the U.S. Department of the Treasury. As Chris says it, they're running out of levers to pull. And again, I said this so many times before, but I really do believe that as Christians in particular, we can look at these kinds of things and understand them through the lenses of our Christian faith and look at this and say, there is no substitute, no real authentic substitute for real productivity. There is no authentic biblically based idea that substitutes for hard work. You cannot have a third of the U.S. population not working and assume that everything goes great for all three-thirds, so to speak. You cannot assume that the stock values of companies will continue to go up and up and up, even as the rest of the world is struggling financially, and our own federal government is closing in on $19 trillion in debt, and people aren't working in sufficient numbers in the U.S., and these companies are not selling sufficient numbers of products and services. It is a bit of a fantasy. And to Chris's point, I mean, the U.S. federal government, mostly through the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury Department, have, to use his terminology, pulled lots of different levers and keeping interest rates pretty much right at 0%. And this has perked up the mortgage lending market a little bit and the housing market a little bit. But there's a lot of government policy. While those kinds of policies from the Federal Reserve and the Treasury Department are trying to stimulate the economy and sort of cover up the fact that people aren't working and companies aren't selling as much stuff as they need to be selling, other government policy is strangling companies. That's a reality that we have to face. And a lot of Christians don't want to talk about that. They don't want to have that conversation. They don't want to think about that because it sounds political. It sounds like if you're critical of any of these things, you're favoring one political party over the other. Let me be very, very clear here. I wish all elected officials understood basic economics better than they do. I have lived in parts of the country, I've lived in states where one political party reigns supreme and controls everything and the other is the tiny minority. I lived in other states where the other political party reigns supreme, controls everything, and the opposite party is the minority. I've seen it both ways, and quite frankly, when either one of the dominant political parties in our country reigns supreme, really bad stuff generally happens. That's been my experience, just my anecdotal experience. It is what it is. But please, I would respectfully challenge you, don't dismiss these kinds of discussions as merely political. Don't just roll your eyes and say, I don't care about politics. These are our livelihoods that we're talking about. Economics, the way it's portrayed in the dominant news media, is about numbers, it's about dollars, it's about banks, it's about really wealthy people, et cetera, et cetera. But in reality, economics is about your household, your family, my household, my family, our children, their ability to have a future, baby boomers and their ability to have a retirement, these kinds of things. And if you think that the church goes very far without material monetary resources, please think again. 877-933-2484. Matthew is up next. Thanks for holding, Matthew. Welcome. It's Austin Hills, Big World of Small Business.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
So in a nutshell, I guess, two things. One a quote, and then the other, touching back on the interest rates and the NASDAQ and so on and so forth. Unfortunately, what has happened is I don't think there's anything wrong with necessarily making money on money as financial institutions. You need a loan, we borrow you some money, you pay us a nominal amount, it works out. But where we inflate these companies so far, we have these Ponzi schemes going on and things of that nature, the unfortunate realization is that as soon as these people are gone, it's really not the end, because given another month, they're back in business. Different names, you know, different people, the same scam. So I think the best is for the listeners is that if it's too good to be true, it is. And then more importantly, I think it's the being wise, which brings me to a comment that I actually plagiarized from a Star Wars movie. And the gentleman says, well, I thought that you would know the difference between knowledge and wisdom. And I think that speaks volumes.
Well, and I would tell you that the distinction between knowledge and wisdom predates Star Wars.
Yes, indeed,
a little historical perspective, but I appreciate your point. Listen, just a few seconds before I need to go to a break. How prepared do you feel you are for your work and your financial future?
Oh, I think I'm doing pretty good. I've taken a lot of things into my own hands. I'm in the midst of building a house right now.
Good for you.
It's helped. So it's, yes, doing rather good, you know, and then and not forgetting my faith while I'm there. I did a lot of framing over the winter, and I was I always made comments to friends and family that like working with Jesus.
Yes, sir. Listen, Matthew, appreciate the call, sir. Thank you for listening. Here's our number. It's 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. How prepared are you for your career and financial future? We'll talk more about it. It's Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Don't go away.
We're on the road to economic recovery, and we're headed towards your future. Now back to Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business.
Great to have you with us. It's 877-933-2484. If you care to join our program, 877-933-2484. How prepared are you for your career and business and financial future? You know, there's a lot of talk programs and a lot of experts who are financial planners. I'm not a financial planner, by the way. A lot of folks who do talk programs and seminars and such about investing and managing your investment portfolio, your retirement nest egg, if you want to call it that. Those are all very important things. I believe that there is a growing need. In fact, I think we're at a crisis point right now in our country, and I hope and pray for the day when the church wakes up and recognizes it. But we've got a crisis of millennials in particular, young adults anywhere from the age 18 to early 30s, who some of them have gone to college and earned degrees and gone through all the hoops and played by the rules, gotten good grades, and they just can't find a job anywhere. They don't get it. They don't seem to find a foot in the door. They can't grab onto a career track and move with it and grow with it, not like previous generations have over the last 50 years or so. And I don't know yet, I don't think we know yet what the spiritual and emotional and psychological damage is to this entire segment of the population, given their disillusionment and their feeling that they just don't fit in anywhere. The church needs to rise up and start talking about basic economics and figuring out why it is that there's such poor job creation in our economy. How to make better choices with public policy and the initiatives and the people that we vote for. How to navigate this changing economy. And then on the other end of the spectrum, we've got baby boomers who are saying, yikes, I don't have enough saved up. How am I ever going to have a retirement? There is no biblical basis, by the way, for retirement, just so you know. The Bible doesn't say, once you reach age 60 or whatever, you are entitled to a life of leisure and never working again. That's the biblical version of one's life is very, very different from the ways in which we've characterized it in modern Western society. It's time for the church to rise up, learn basic economics. I wrote a book about this. You can find it at austinsbigworld.com. It's called The Virtues of Capitalism, A Moral Case for Free Markets. It's published by Moody Publishing, a very esteemed Christian publisher. There's also another great book out about navigating this this crazy new economy of ours. It's called The Leap, by our friend Robert Dickey. That's on Moody Publishing as well. We've got to start talking about these issues. That's why I do this program. My question for you in this episode of our program, how prepared are you for your financial and business and career future? It's not just a retirement portfolio. It's how do you keep working and remaining productive and contributing things to other people's lives? Because ultimately, that's the key to success for a business, right? You have to have a product or a service that is meaningful and meets the needs of others, or you won't be successful. 877-933-2484 is the number. Karen is up next. Karen, thanks for holding. Welcome. It's Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Hello.
Hello. I would like to address a couple things that you said here, and one is about how prepared are you for your work. I think a part of any career, there is continuing education. If you hope to be good and you hope to sustain a consistent income and living, maybe the younger generation doesn't understand that when you leave school, you're done. My hairdresser goes to continuing ed classes for her license and to keep up with the latest styles. So does my plumber. So does the accountant. And even like truck drivers, just like we have to get a driver's license renewal every so often.
Sure.
It's the same thing with any industry. And I think in as a small business person and an entrepreneur, one would gather maybe at a local coffee shop with people of similar interests to trade ideas and support one another. I think you have to invest in your future. You're never really done learning. As far as the church goes, I think that if the church had maybe, like, let's just say you have to have a certain number of CE credits because you're an accountant. If they held that class on the church campus, you know, we're going to have a church a CE credit course offered if you're an accountant. Plumbers, you know, there's a convocation for plumbers this weekend from 2 to 4 or something. I think the church could be very practically involved in just planting the seeds that work requires ongoing education. On the financial future front, I had my financial advisor do a retirement calculation that was free. I didn't have to pay a thing. There are all kinds of ways to get that done for yourself to see just how much you need to be making and do to sustain a lifestyle that you think you may want to live. And you have a better idea. I think it's far better to face the future than it is to hide behind, you know, an apron and say, well, that's far in the future, and I don't know what the world is going to look like. And that's such a Pollyanna-ish attitude. And the church might offer a retirement calculation for free and might have accountants or financial advisors in the church step forward and offer that service as part of their gift to the church so that church members can see. And I think that would be very helpful. And finally, I think we all ought to know our U.S. Constitution. That undergirds the work and the economics that you talk about. Basic education, if people understood their basic freedoms and where they come from, they would be far more motivated to get out there and get things done.
You know, I love this. And Karen, thank you for this. Does any of this kind of stuff go on in your church where you worship? Just curious.
No, I'd sure like to see it go on. Yeah, yeah. My church has many, many good focuses, and they do many good things for helping other people and building God's kingdom. These things that I've mentioned aren't in their scope right at the moment.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Karen. Thank you very much for the call. Very thoughtful roster of ideas to get the church addressing more effectively people's real needs. Listen, it is common in evangelical church culture that we speak of being the hands and feet of Jesus, right? That is it's part and parcel to the call of the life of the Christian. Jesus is not walking among us in flesh and blood today, but we are walking amongst each other in flesh and blood. For those who are seeking to fulfill the call on their life placed to them by Christ, we are to be the hands and feet of Jesus, the servants of Jesus. We're to be Jesus for those who don't know him, right? And to one another. Well, why in the world would we ignore people's inability to make a living? Why would we ignore people's inability and in some cases unwillingness to find work? Why would we ignore people's financial and career and retirement and work well-being? And I think the reason it gets ignored is because pastors are not trained in economics. Pastors are, in many cases, not trained in career coaching or business. But there are people in our midst, in our local communities and in our own churches, who have great expertise. And again, sometimes they worship with us and we don't even know they're business owners. As Karen was describing what she would like to see in her own church, I was thinking of something that happened at the church where my wife and son and I worship just a couple of weeks ago. After the before the church service was over with, it was announced, hey, if you'd like to get a free blood pressure check, you know, just to make sure your blood pressure is okay and your health is okay. The little room around the corner as you walk out into the lobby will have three nurses that attend our church here. They are volunteering their time to do free blood pressure checks. Now, there were three individuals, two women and one man, who are registered nurses. They work in local doctor's offices and one in a hospital. And they just, you know, they got together and said, hey, let's, you know, just offer our talents and our services to the fellow parishioners here at our church and check blood pressure. And you'd go up and they'd do the little, you know, wrap the thing around your arm and inflate it, that whole thing. I don't know what that device is called. Forgive me. But then they had little paper cards and they would write down your blood pressure for you and hand you your card. So you can walk out of there and say, I know what my blood pressure reading was. Now, those are people using their skills, their training, their capacities, voluntarily serving people with some useful information. There are entrepreneurs and business owners likely in your church or at least in a neighboring church in your local community, but we don't bother asking them. We don't bother talking to them because we have not yet, I don't think, yet recognized the necessity of entrepreneurship and the business operation in our local communities. I think it's going to have to get a little worse. I think we're going to see need to see more degradation in the small business marketplace, higher unemployment, a bigger problem with non-participation in the labor force, and a more sluggish economy before the church begins in earnest having this conversation. It's just not on the radar screen yet. Now, I need to take a break. When we come back, I'll have some more thoughts on maybe how to approach a business owner in your local area and how to have that conversation and some of the problems that will come up likely when you do reach out for the first time. But we'll have that conversation. We'll get to more of your calls coming up at 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Also, some first-hand information from a gentleman who is making a living in the freelance services industry. He is employed nowhere, but he offers his services freelance in the freelance services marketplace. I'll tell you about that when we come back. Here's the number, 877-933-2484. It's Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. That's the program. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hey, don't mind us. We're just talking about the most important part of the American economy. This is Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. You want to talk about job creation? We're creating our own jobs right here. This is Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business.
Our number is 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. In just moments, some thoughts from a gentleman who makes a living in the freelance services industry. He's actually a freelance ride-sharing provider, driver, with two freelance services web platforms, Lyft.com and the more well-known of the two, Uber.com. We'll get to that in just a few moments. Let me, just to complete the thought that a caller brought up a few moments ago, this idea of incorporating business owners in church education, in essence. Let me assure you that there are business owners who are being ignored probably in your church. I can't say that universally for every local church or every area of the country, but that's generally the case. And I really got a pretty strong dose of this back when we first launched this version of the Big World of Small Business program for Christian audiences and Christian talk radio listeners, which launched in February of 2013. Shortly thereafter, I got an email message from this gentleman, and he was listening in the state of Wisconsin in the Madison area, and he said, I am so glad I found your program. And I still have his email, actually. I went back and looked in my email and looked this up, and he went on to say, the only time anybody at my church ever thinks about what I do is when they want money from me. And he goes on to explain that he owns a small chain of fast food restaurants. And he's actually a franchisee with a national chain, but he owns a small handful of these stores in the state of Wisconsin. And he goes on to say that the pastor at his church, this was in the year 2013, says the pastor at my church has called me twice within the last 12 months. Once he called to ask for a year-end donation because the church at the end of the year in 2012 apparently was running in the red, and so the pastor thought, well, I'll call the call the business owner. He must be made of money. Maybe he'll write a big year-end donation check. The business owner did. Later in the year, the business owner explains to me that the youth pastor at the church called and said, could you write another big check and help fund kids' summer church camp scholarships? And so this gentleman, he emailed me again at austinsbigworld.com at our program website. He starts pouring out his heart to me in this email. And I asked him if we could talk sometime. We did have a conversation, and we remain in touch and email periodically and so forth. But he was saying, this is, this program that you're doing here, Austin Hill, this is the first discussion I've heard, first intelligible discussion about business ownership and entrepreneurship in the Christian community. And so while other people think the show is an oddity and bizarre and doesn't even belong on Christian radio, here's at least one person who thought it was a really good idea. Well, I told that man's story on the air. Again, this was back in late winter, early spring of 2013. And shortly thereafter, I got another email from a gentleman who, interestingly enough, he works in the Christian publishing industry, and he also owns his own company on the side. But he asked to speak with me, and we got together one day, and he said, yeah, you told that story about the business owner who only gets contacted by the church when people want his money. He said, I'm guilty. I've done that before. So here's this gentleman who's an entrepreneur and owns his own company and is an employee of a Christian publishing company. He went on to explain to me that he's the elder, an elder, sits on the elder board at his hometown church. And he said, I've instructed pastors at our church to go out and find who the business owners are and go get with them, buy them lunch, and ask them for money. And he said, I'm a business owner myself, but I've never advised the pastors at our church to cultivate relationships with the business owners. So, listen, I'm not here to cast stones or to make disparaging remarks. I'm trying to state the obvious, though, here, and be very thoughtful about it in the process. There are people in your community, probably in your church, who are struggling. And they're putting their own money and their time and their effort and their resources at risk, because business is always risky. You never know if it's going to be successful or not. And they're, hoping for great rewards, as they rightfully should. But they're trying to create enterprises that provide essential products and service to people, and enterprises that employ people. We need these folks in our communities. And even the material bases of the church itself needs these people. It's high time we start acknowledging them. And I would just respectfully tell you, if you're listening to this and say, well, I'm going to go out there and do it. Please understand, if you try to get a meeting or have a conversation with a business owner in your church, you probably shouldn't necessarily expect them to open up to you right away, or to embrace you warmly, or to be particularly trusting. They'll probably be polite, but they may very well view somebody coming knocking at their door from the church with a degree of suspicion. Because most of the time, and this is a sad state of affairs, this is why we, the people, those of us who call ourselves, identify with the body of Christ, we've got our work cut out for us. Because more often than not, when people get involved with local businesses and they come from a local church, more often than not, that involvement amounts to protesting, demonstrating, demanding higher wages. It's very hostile and antagonistic. Most church involvement with businesses ends up being very antagonistic towards the business owner. Without even asking questions, pastors will show up with disgruntled workers and demand a doubling of the minimum wage. No discussion, no inquiry as to how wages get set, why some jobs pay more than others. They don't want to know. They just demand things for the worker. That is to say that people who are identified with the church usually are in lockstep with disgruntled workers. They're not thinking graciously and respectfully about the entrepreneurs who create the jobs in the first place. So it's something that I try to do. I try to be mindful of. I try to encourage this kind of mindfulness in my own home church. I would encourage you to do so if you think this is actually important, but understand that there might be some resistance and some discomfort and some distrust. when you first get started. Just a little food for thought. Freelance services industry, let's talk about that for a moment. I have encouraged pastors who work with youth, pastors who work with elderly and retirees and such. Pastors, get on board, learn some basic economics, and understand how the economy is changing. With the emergence, there's a lot of reasons why it's changing. One of the evidences of that is the emerging of what is best described as the freelance services industries. That's when individuals display a modicum of ambition and take initiative and go out and try to provide a service on a freelance per project basis in exchange for a little money. There's some big internationally known web platforms that facilitate those transactions. Uber.com, perhaps the best known, that's a ride-sharing service provider. Uber doesn't own any cars. They're not a transportation company per se. They're a transportation services distributor, but they don't own vehicles. They match people in local towns all across the world where somebody owns a car and they're willing to share a ride with people, and somebody is in town and needs a ride across town. That's how Uber.com works. I have an interview on our website at austinsbigworld.com with a gentleman named Ben. He is a full-time musician. That's his day job, I guess. But when he's not gigging and recording and rehearsing, he provides rides to people with both Uber.com and Uber's competitor, Lyft, L-Y-F-T.com, in the Seattle, Washington area. Now, Uber.com and Lyft.com don't exist side by side in every city around the country. I know where I live, Uber.com is very active. Lyft hasn't launched yet in my area. But in any event, this is Ben, a driver with both these services, freelance service provider. I started by asking him, how does a person get started and what's required of them?
Well, first and foremost, they would need their own car, something, a late model, and four doors. And that is the main prerequisite right there. Absolutely mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, of course, need a clean driving record,
mm-hmm.
and be able to pass a criminal background check. Once all of those requirements are met and your vehicle's been thoroughly inspected and all of your other ducks are in a row, then you are ready to start picking people up. You simply log into your app and then just chill out for a little bit until your first call comes in. And it automatically links into your phone's built-in GPS, so it will take you exactly right where you need to go to pick up the customer.
How long of a process are we talking about in terms of, I guess, getting qualified, getting on the team, so to speak, to be a provider, a service provider, a contractor, and franchisee is really kind of what you are. But how long does it take to get that process completed with either Uber or Lyft.com?
I'd say probably about 2 weeks is typical.
Mm-hmm.
You'll most likely take one test drive with one of their representatives.
Okay.
And then, once you're able to pass the criminal background check, and probably about 2 weeks, I would say,
and
is typical.
Yeah, and when you say you need to own a late model car, how new are we talking about?
When I started, it was 2010 or newer.
Mm-hmm.
I heard tale that it might have gone down to 2008 just because we got pretty desperate for drivers there for a while.
Okay.
So don't quote me on that one exactly.
Yeah, no,
2010 or newer for sure.
And that probably is relative to respective markets and such, and I get that, and I can appreciate that. That said, have you had any concerns at all with either one of these companies, Uber.com or Lyft.com, about their handling of your private data? They're obviously, in order for you to get paid, they have to send your earnings to a PayPal account or maybe your personal checking account, whichever. When you take a background check, they're learning all kinds of things about you personally. They probably have your social security number, those kinds of things. Any concern at all handing over that info and their management of it?
I've not had any concern. You know, I was initially a little skeptical about that because, you know, so many companies are pretty notorious for selling information, especially phone numbers.
Yes.
So, you know, in the past when I'd ordered certain products and services online, I would start getting just phone call after phone call and text after text,
mm-hmm.
advertising all sorts of stuff that I didn't want. And, yeah, with Lyft and Uber, I have not gotten that.
Yeah, very cool. That's Ben, a gentleman that I spoke with earlier this year, actually, earlier in the summer. And the full discussion with Ben is on austinsbigworld.com. But some food for thought there. You got to, you know, you got to jump through some hoops here. There is some preparation. But again, this man is making a living, paying his bills, providing for his dependents, and enabling his music career to continue by driving freelance. Granted, he's in a pretty big city, Seattle, Washington, but people are making this work. I believe it would behoove us all in the church to better understand these opportunities, not let our perceptions about these things be defined by pop culture or the media industry, but test them, see what they are, see them for what they really are, and consider how we can encourage one another, those who are struggling, to get back to work and to be productive and just get some money coming in. Even if it's not a full-time career for now, let's get people back to work and encourage it and honor work. Austinsbigworld.com, that's our website. The program is Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. It is a production of my small business, Hill Communications, LLC. All rights reserved. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for the team that makes it happen. Dick Whitworth, Neil Stapham, Aaron McIntyre. And in the studio, Luke Larson. Luke, thanks for your great work on the phones. And thank you for listening. Reach us at austinsbigworld.com. Have a great business week ahead. We'll see you next weekend right here for Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. Hey, thanks for listening to this podcast from Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business. For more information about this, you can visit the Austin Hill's Big World of Small Business program page on myfaithradio.com.